Anyway, oh, let me make sure that my volume levels are right for you, even though that won't matter if I use your recording. The reason why that I want to try this is because this is the way that people have been telling me to do it, is you should record, I know that that's what a lot of audio podcasts do, is they record locally, and then, you know, they just grab the audio files from each other and edit them together. I know that. Yeah. I just am stubborn. So, anyway, I'm like, because I'm like, that's all that Riverside is doing. All it's doing is it's doing what we're doing right now. The thing, though, that I always worry about is, will our computers time it correctly? Because I have no, you know...
Oh, okay.
Right? Because they're different computers. Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's fine and all if, you know, we start at the same time and it's the same length, but will it line up correctly?
Yeah.
Or is it like, exactly, does it start off where we're like in sync? Because one, it's okay making sure that the audio lines up to where we're talking back and forth and it sounds natural like it does if we were just talking in the same room. But then on top of that, does it keep the timing or does something over time slowly get off? And so then by the end of the recording, we're like now not in sync anymore. And then like, if it is, how bad is it? And do I have to like edit the entire, because then that slows down the editing process. And I'm trying to make editing quicker and faster and easier, because the last podcast that we did, the live one, that was easy to edit. I didn't really do much. Huh. Yeah. I was like, okay, you know, the audio was better. Because we weren't on mono. We were both on stereo, and so it probably sounded a little bit better for everyone. So, anyway. How are you, by the way?
Yeah, good, good. I woke up with a sore throat today, so not sure what that means for the rest of this week.
Okay, and we're shutting down the podcast because you're going to give us all COVID. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Big Monka this morning. I mean, I feel fine, but... this is how it started for me when I got COVID back in January. I remember the day before, I was like, I was feeling fine, but I was just like, something was sussy.
I guess it's that time of year.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. Did I go to a concert approximately 4 days ago? Yeah. How's that timeline looking? Not good. Not good. I'm sure it's fine. It's just like I've woken up with sore throats before from I don't know, but and they've been nothing. It's just been like a sore throat for that day, and then the next day you wake up fine. So I'm sure it's probably nothing. Plus, it's been like a lot of like, I don't know, Thursday night, go to a concert, screaming my lungs out, right? So my throat was already thrashed. Friday didn't stream thanks to what I thought was Steam that ended up being load order mod. And what else did I do then that would result? Saturday. Saturday was lots of recording and editing. I got a lot of stuff done on Saturday, and so it was a lot of just talking into the mic, hated it, re-record, talking to the mic, didn't like this take, re-record, stumbled over words, re-record, you know what I mean? Like that process, right?
Yeah.
And so
the early recording process.
Exactly. And then that coupled with like an already, because my throat was super, like I was still going to stream fine and I could talk. I didn't lose my voice, but it was already super sore from the show. So I'm sure that didn't.
Who did you go see?
Just a band called Citizen, pop punk type music.
Oh my God.
More.
You, wait a minute. Citizen?
Yeah, a pop punk band from Toledo, Ohio.
No, I have never heard of them. But they sound awesome, though. I have an app on my phone called Citizen. Does that count?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. It's, of course. Yeah, they're more, I'm too hipster to go see these big bands, right? So they're more underground, you know, lesser known, you know, and really cool, just like, you know.
You're too hipster to go see a band that no one knows about.
Meanwhile, that's amazing. I'm about to drop, like, what's it going to be? We're looking at like at least 600 now on Blink-182 tickets, so that we can be on the floor.
What?
Yeah, it's insane, and I think it might actually be end up being a little bit more, but yeah, it's kind of crazy right now.
Is it through Ticketmaster?
I don't know. Bay knows, but I don't.
Or maybe
I don't know what one we're going through.
I don't know. Is Ticketmaster global? I know that they have a pretty stronghold on stuff here. Yeah. There's like a whole thing about it on YouTube.
Yeah, they would be.
Their super sussy business practices.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yeah. Yeah, I've heard some.
Which is the reason why the concert tickets apparently are like super expensive, because
yeah,
half the time the fees are as much or more than the actual ticket. And but then something about how some artists are actually behind some of those fees, so some of those fees even go to some of the artists. That's a whole thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, we would only go through, yeah, so probably it is Ticketmaster for this one. We'd only go through Ticketmaster for like big,
you know, ones. What's interesting,
like big concerts. Local doesn't really go through Ticketmaster.
$300 ticket to like EDC almost sounds like a bargain now, because that's not just one, well, DJ, it's multiple DJs, and it's not just one day, it's over the course of a weekend. So for $300, you're getting 3 days worth of entertainment, as opposed to spending double that to get a couple of hours with a band that hasn't released a record since. No, let me stop. I like Blink-182. I'm just being super,
you
super
see
shady.
My office real quick?
Absolutely not. No. I know better.
It's a nice office, you know?
Yeah.
Although I think it's meant to be a closet.
By the way.
Yeah.
By the way.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, welcome back to Urban Theories Podcast. This is episode 16, untitled yet, because we haven't titled it yet. And I'm one of your hosts, Jonah, and this is also Moose. Moose, say hi.
Hi. My name is Moose.
We have we have to tell people who we are.
Yes, now that we've got. I always forget.
We've done that, you know, we do this podcast every week. It's on basically anything we wanted to be about at this point, but that's why we named it Urban Theories, because we're both in urban areas and we have theories. And so I now introduce you to Moose's theory on Vancouver and the fall of Vancouver. Moose, take it away.
What am I talking about today? What am I ranting about today? I don't have much to rant about today. It's pretty much all the same. Wait, no, there was a really cool video.
What about the video you sent me that I haven't watched yet? Oh dear God! I just saw the opening of it, and it's someone pushing an old guy down the stairs.
Yeah, it's wild. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, that it was a random attack to that guy. So that's at the Granville Street Metro Station, and it's some people following. You can see the camera because we have CCTV. Or I say we; it's the city. It's not me.
Yeah.
So the city of Vancouver has CCTV quite a lot in that downtown area, right? And so you can see the CCTV footage of this guy just following that old dude and just randomly attacks him. And then I think he like took off or something. I don't think they ever found the guy either. And so
he just randomly attacked this guy.
Yeah, just threw him down the stairs. Yeah, the dude got pretty messed up too. I mean, he's a bigger gentleman.
Well,
regardless, though, it's face first on the stairs. It doesn't really matter how old or, you know, size wise you are. It's face first. Those are concrete stairs, right? So.
I mean, but anybody getting pushed downstairs is going to get a little, you know,
messed up. I mean, that's face first, too. It's not like, I mean, not that it'd be any better falling back either, but like face first on a concrete stairs. Yeah. And so you're shoved from behind, too. So it's not like you tripped over like your shoelace or something, you know, it's like you're pushed forcefully face first onto. Yeah.
So we have a little bit of a running theme, which is that, well, I'm pretty sure I've never been to I have not been to Vancouver. But what I was going to say is that I'm pretty sure that Vancouver is is a great place to live for an X amount of people. I know that you say that you do, you know, you've liked it, but they're and it's ended up on lists of like best places to live in the world and blah 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 and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And but to counter
consistently, like in North America, yeah.
Exactly. But then to counter that, you know, you being someone who lives in Vancouver consistently and also has done many city skylines builds based off of it.
I get this rate, they all are. Like, you're inspired by the areas you've visited or lived in, and at this rate, I think even, anything I build is just like, regardless of where it's based in the world,
it's interesting, right? Because think about it.
Yeah.
It's listed as one of like the better places to live on Earth or in North America, blah blah blah.
That's what you see a lot. Is they're like, you'll see an article and it'd be like Vancouver's the best place to live on Earth, and I'm like, I mean,
then there's like the realities of a place, especially with like Vancouver, that you've ranted on and have even experienced live on stream before, but things have been happening like near you.
That was ridiculous.
And there's this video that sent me, you know, Vancouver is dying. Yeah. It's by a guy called Aaron Gunn. In the description, it's like, what is happening to the city of Vancouver? Mm-hmm. Who is responsible for the surge? And at 50 seconds into the video, he's filming in front of what looks like to be the largest homeless encampment I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
It basically looks like a refugee camp, which, I mean, honestly, that's exactly what these people are. They're refugees from society. In my opinion,
People experiencing homelessness in the city has completely failed them. Right?
But it's interesting that we are upset by the fact that things are kind of washed over like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I kind of feel like sometimes that maybe we're a little bit guilty of perpetuating that by only showcasing the good stuff out of a city when we're 100%. Trying to replicate it in 100%. City skylines. I don't know how you felt about that. But I was thinking about that, like, even in like my Portland city.
That's an interesting
take. I liked it. Well, because like it's not our. I'm not saying that there's anything like wrong specifically with us doing it, but I'm just saying like that's how deep the problem is. Like that's how ingrained we are to kind of look at, oh, everything is fine. Mm-hmm. No, don't look over there. Don't look behind the curtain, right? But then, like right in front of our eyes, you know, like everything is sort of falling apart for like a certain portion of our fellow human beings, our fellow society, where we've just completely failed them.
Yep, 100%. Also, that's interesting. So, out of like, I just kind of assumed, like, I know ours is bad, and some have even said that. This area that you see there is referred to as, the street is called East Hastings, but it's the downtown east side is what it gets referred to as. People have now compared and are actually, and I don't know how true it is because I haven't been to LA to experience Skid Row, and Skid Row is not really a place that you're going to experience. Now, that being said, it would be a place that I would like to just see. To, like, see the realness. Like, I don't know. It's things like these that interest me in cities when I go to visit, which might, it's, you know, different than going to a place for a vacation, but I want to see what's really going on in cities, you know? And people have claimed and said that it's now officially getting worse than Skid Row, the downtown east side. And it's also interesting, like, so knowing where you live as well, you don't, now I understand, you know, New York City's massive, right? I get it. But I feel like you probably have a lot of this in New York, yeah? Or is it just different or?
No. Now I'm going to be very, very clear here. New York City has a very large homeless population. In fact, I think it's. Isn't it the largest in the country, I believe? See,
so that's what I would think, yeah. That would be my thinking, yeah.
But that's the interesting difference that I've noticed between just looking at... I mean, I don't think anybody I wouldn't say anybody, but it's very accessible for anybody who has access to the internet, who's privileged enough to have that access and be able to go on Google. And just go Street View... almost anywhere in LA. When I was looking to possibly move there, I usually street view areas to see where a department is, just so I can get a feel for the area. Right. And then I always think that for myself, I have to go down there for myself, but at least it gives me a feel for it. And understanding that either, and you can actually see when that they were taken. If you look at the bottom of the screen, it's in small letters, but you can see when the photo was taken. But understanding that either the photo may not be up to date, and even if it is, it's not going to fully encompass the entirety of what it means to be in that particular area. Taking all that into consideration, it still looked bad when I was looking through LA. I mean, it was like, it's just Skid Row. It's everywhere. It's any
exactly.
It's that's any spot that you can find to pitch a tent. And in New York City, we have homeless people. We have a lot of homeless shelters. I don't know if maybe that's the reason why that there's not a lot of encampments, or maybe because maybe we're more aggressive in making sure that people don't encamp. At least not in large numbers like you see in the West Coast, like in Vancouver, like in LA, where you basically have parks that are just completely taken over by tents. Yeah. You know what 100%. I mean? And it could, maybe I'm not in the right places, maybe because the places that I am in are not conducive for it. I don't know. But like these places, this place that this guy is standing from, isn't that like, is that in the heart of Vancouver, or is that like kind of to the side?
So this would be like the edge of part of downtown. But that park that he's standing in front of, so this is called Crab Park, and that's where the tents have moved to. It's a park that I've frequented myself. It's a great spot to watch. Like, we do a lot of fireworks in the summer out in the bay, right? And you can see them from that area really well. Families go there, kids go there to play. Kids go there to play, right? And now you can't, obviously, it's all tents, but...
Because, you know, we have lots of parks in the city, but we have Central Park. A park like Central Park in LA would be completely taken over by now.
If they did something like that here, that's where they'd go. Yeah. And so what happens, though, is the police will come through and clear out an area, right? And in doing so,
which is not the answer, but okay.
It's not like it's funny because it's like the community, and I get it, right? Because so the community, whatever park it is, so the park that they came from before they were at Crab Park was Strathcona Park. And the community of Strathcona, and I've lived in Strathcona myself for many years when I first moved down here. So I've actually lived in that community, been to that park, hung out with friends countless times there. And the park, so that area of Strathcona is very, very family-oriented and family-based. And there's
whatever
lots of
that means
to reflect that. basically it means that, like, if you go to any park, well, it's just very, it's cool. No, it's a cool community. It's got, like, because it feels like a community, like,
you know what I mean? Like, when people say that things are family-oriented, you know, there's always, like, an undertone of something under that. I know that's not what you mean, but, yeah.
I just mean there's a lot of kids, a lot of new parents.
I got you.
There, you know?
I got you.
And so, as such, they were, of course, now their main park is overrun with this. But the biggest thing, too, is that the, like... I am, of course, all for, like, I'm on the side of, like, we need to help people that are experiencing homelessness, and we need to do this, like, the proper way, and I don't think the way that the city of Vancouver is doing it is the right way, but...
If you look at 22 minutes and 17 seconds into the video...
Let's see, 22
or
minutes.
Or 22, I don't know, was it 22, what is this?
Yeah, 22, when he's walking the streets of Hastings.
Yeah, that street that's lined like that, you do not see that in New York. Not something
and none of this
here.
None of this doxes me. I'm always very careful on saying like locations and stuff like this, but this street here, I almost interact/walk through this street on a daily basis. Yeah.
And is it like that all the time?
All the time. And this actually seems, honestly, it's going to sound a little bit wild. I don't know when this was. It came out October 5th. I don't know when looks like they recorded it in the summer, maybe. I don't know. I haven't looked at the paid attention of the trees. Regardless, though, this seems less than what it is now. And so I interact with the street a lot because it's just going through shots, whether it's driving or walking on the streets. But For example, the concert venue that I've gone to for the past few shows that I've seen is on this street and empties out onto this street. So I walk through here at, I don't know when a concert gets out, like close to midnight, right? For some of the concerts that I go to. And so I'll just be walking the street at midnight. And it's very interesting. I think the interesting part about it is that it never felt dangerous before.
Never felt dangerous.
But now... Oh yeah, okay. now it's gotten insane because like so in this video they also have pull up numbers, and that's the part that actually made me start to double think some of the areas I walk at night because so for me my experience when I first moved here in this street is like the people never bug you, and the people that do, they just want money for stuff, right? Like it's a lot of people that are experiencing drug addictions, right? And they don't want to hurt you, they don't want to rob you. There's none of these stranger attacks were happening. Like I've walked around this street intoxicated, you know, with my friends, coworkers, at 3-4 in the morning, leaving a bar that's near here, and nothing ever happened. Like I felt so safe walking around there. But now, this has become sort of the new tent city, right? So tent city is the areas that we refer to that would exist in parks, and that's where those homeless encampments that you see in the video come from, right? They're called tent city. And they're sort of lawless areas where the police no longer patrol it. They don't patrol Tent City. Tent City is its own, and I use this word, I'm not memeing, its own governed area by the people that live there. And they did a sweep recently and found insane amounts, like we're talking like American style, not to generalize America, but American style of weapons that you just don't see happening here in Canada, but they've started to pop up now in these tent cities of people just having fully automatic insane amounts of weapons, shotguns, everything just hanging out in their tents in these streets because of many of the policies that Vancouver has in place to allow people to continue using but also have access to weapons. Just the whole bunch of stuff to allow criminals as well too, because we have a bunch of policies enacted in BC that allow dangerous criminals to be arrested and released the same day back onto the streets. So it's a very interesting time that's going down here, but I gotta
watch this video. This looks
wild. It's gotten crazy.
I'm pretty sure that the title Vancouver is Dying is supposed to get you to click on it. It's very dramatic.
It's clickbaity title for sure.
Get that. But that doesn't exclude the fact that what they filmed is still happening. They didn't necessarily cherry pick area and say, I mean, I guess the entire city doesn't look that, but the fact that this entire street, like this block, two blocks, few blocks, I don't know how many blocks, it's enough. For me, like, I know I say this sitting here, you know, what is it, couchside refereeing or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
If when I come to power, but I would love to see, like, for instance, I don't know what we're doing here. I need to find out because I know that we have the highest homeless population, but I also know that we have the highest amount of beds in homeless shelters here available for people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not in any way a fix. It's just like a, you know, because number one, you're putting yourself in a situation where you don't know the people that you're with. And also too, it doesn't help you get a job because you can't use the shelter as a address. And a lot of times you need an address to get things like a job, or to get things to get a job. You also have to be in by a certain time, or you don't get the opportunity to sleep there at night, and you have to be out by a certain time. You can't just stay there. It's literally just a place for you to go and not be outside in the elements at night if you choose to do that. And it's not a great place to be. You've got all these, you know, people that are in it with you. People have mental health issues that are not being addressed correctly, and so, or at all. And it is, and it's not all mental health issues, but that part exists, right? So,
yep. 100%.
I don't know what we're doing. I'm assuming that maybe the amount of beds that we have in shelters is helping with the tent situation. So what that video shows that you see on that street, you do see that here in the city,
right.
But it's in pockets. It's not like wall to wall to wall, you know, endless, or an entire park being taken over. And I, for one, if I came into power to New York City, what I would do, the first day, I'd be like, all right, so guess what we're doing? We are now making the park 24 hours and legal for you to camp out in. And if you don't like that situation of what's going to happen, then maybe you should do something to help prevent it from the first place. But in no way am I going to tell somebody, you don't have a house, you can't even camp on this place that no one uses at night anyway. No, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Do you need water? Do you need, here, we're going to put up some porta potties, and we're going to hire people to change the porta potties. And I know that I'm saying this, but you know what? It's something. It's something. It's like, we're going to start there. And then, oh, well, they don't leave the park during the daytime. The park is full of people in camps now. And it's like, okay, so what are we going to do about it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very,
because the problem is not the being in the park. The problem is the fact that they got to the point where that's the only thing that they have.
Exactly. Because I think one of the crazy, because I don't know what it's like inside of them. I've inside of the buildings that they put up to help those in need struggling with addiction, but in the video they actually interview somebody that is recently former from the downtown east side that lived on the streets and is now getting proper help. But the first help he got, government help, the city of Vancouver, the province of British Columbia, they had these areas down in the downtown east side, and he went in and so he got checked into one of these buildings, right, where you get a room, they're going to help get you clean. And as he's walking, so he describes it, right, the first building that he went to that's government run. And as he's walking through it, he has people offering him drugs from the hallways as he's walking over to his room. And after sitting in his room for a little bit, you know, getting adjusted into the room that he's staying in, somebody knocks on the door and is like, hey, here's, you know, I got these drugs. You want any blah, 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 whatever, goes into the whole story of it. And this is somebody who's trying to get clean in a government building that's there to help people get clean and get the help they need.
But they're being bombarded with drugs.
Dealer, you know, next door that he can just easily access the stuff that he wants from.
Why is there such a correlation between drugs and homelessness and mental health and homelessness?
The correlation between it?
Yeah, I'm just, we don't have to answer that question. It's more of a rhetorical question. Because here's a question of like the, Of the homeless people that you have particularly observed, in your own opinion, unless if you know anything specific, but is there a lot of people in Vancouver that are suffering from mental health issues that are in that situation?
Yeah. I mean, for sure, 100%. Like, it's mental health for sure. But yeah, it's a lot of people just struggling with addictions in the downtown side. That would be the biggest part. Yeah.
So that's interesting. So when it comes to like the medical care that's provided by the government, is it that's there are certain things that are not covered under it, or maybe is it not funded as it should be?
Our healthcare is really good. Well, it's free, right? Healthcare here is pretty good for certain things. Dental, on the other hand, my God, what a joke! But
interesting.
That's for another topic. However, we'll throw the now here's the thing, I will preface this, there's some stuff in the video, like, I think Aaron did a great job, but I will say this, that Aaron does come from a political background when approaching some of these topics, and so there are a few points that I personally disagree with him on in this video. Now that being said, I give credit where credit's due. The video is incredibly well done.
You don't have to agree 100%.
Yeah, and I love the title, because you can call it clickbait, but clickbait gets views. And
it works.
The ability to share real stuff, real issues, the real Vancouver. Like, it's sitting at 663,000 views right now, which is awesome. That's what people need to see this, right? To see what's really going on in Vancouver. some points, you know, I may or may not, you know, agree with. But yeah, it's essentially their Vancouver's way of dealing with and getting people help is not, it doesn't work. It's not working at all, because essentially they believe in the method of, like, he goes into it better in the video. So watch the video if you want a better take, because I'm sure I'm going to probably butcher it. But essentially the ideas behind it is that they're more on the side of, like, weaning people off. So hearing your addiction by giving you what you're addicted to, right? And so in this video, Aaron does go in and actually interview people that are in a separate recovery program, non-government run, where it's no drugs, like where you're not getting anything completely clean. Mm-hmm. They talk about how much better it is going to places that are not government run, and how much government has absolutely failed every single person in the Downtown East Side. And it really... oh my God, it blew my mind to see how the government is dealing with stuff, and the fact that people who are recovered addicts are the people that are actually helping the people there and actually showing that, hey, yeah, the government kind of, their method sucks, here's how to actually help people, right? I mean, the fact that you can go into a government run building,
that's frustrating.
Oh my God, it's infuriating.
And it's fun. It's because everyone thinks, okay, like, well, not everyone, but there's a lot of people that think, you know, just because something is going to be government ran or whatever, that it's going to be better. But it's like, but we have so many examples of that not being the case. So it's not just that. It's better if it's available to everyone, but it also needs to be ran correctly. Because look at what's happening in Vancouver. You have a government ran health system that's still failing some people. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's not for the lack of it not being there, that's for the lack of it being ran correctly. And so that's frustrating. Cause I can understand here if we have, you know, a lot of people who are suffering from mental health issues that are experiencing homelessness, because the help is not there to begin with. You first have to, and it's even worse here, because it's like, think about it. All right, cool. In order for you to have health care, you need to have a job. And in order for you to have a job, usually, is you have to have your mental health at least in a state where you can function to keep that job. But if you can't function to keep that job, then you can't get the medical benefits that you need to get yourself to that point, or to help you out in whatever way that you need to be helped, just as a live human being. So,
go ahead.
No, go ahead.
The word I was looking for, it says in the description of the video, safe supply is the word I was looking for. So that's what Vancouver's using to deal with this. The issue in the Downtown East Side is called safe supply, which has actually resulted in...
because that's the other thing.
Safe about it. There's nothing safe about supplying, like, it's not safe, so don't call it that. You know, it's like... absolutely.
Yeah, I don't know if I would put the word safe there.
And it's causing more fatalities and more... and so that's what the people that are recovering that Aaron interviewed, that's what they specifically referenced. And they said that if they were still on this safe supply program that Vancouver has, most of them in that room would not be alive today. Like, they would be dead or still stuck. You know, none of them would be clean, right? So...
hello? Hello?
There
we go. I was like, what did I say? Did I say something?
No clue. The entire computer hard crashed completely. Everything froze, bricked, and then crashed and said there's an error with your device. I was like, oh, okay, cool. And then I decided to just restart. No idea what happened.
What we're going to do is I'm going to make a note of this. I'm going to make sure that I get accounting involved, but... and you included, we're going to have to send everyone Mac Minis and a microphone. So when we record the podcast, everyone can record on the Mac Mini.
Yeah, that was wild. What happened? Huh. Oh, well, PCs do weird stuff.
Oh, my God. That's okay. I think that was a great end to that, because I don't know what to do about the situation, but I do feel like that it's important to bring it up and talk about it. And I'll watch that video and We can.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Yeah. We can. I've got OBS backup recording, so I'm good to go.
Yay. So
that's odd, huh?
So you had some issues with City Skylines itself too this week.
It wasn't too bad once I figured out what it was, but I was just, it's using load order mod. I'm still new to it and using it. I don't know if it was entirely load order mod, and I still feel like Steam had something to do with it, but I couldn't launch my game. Steam completely bricked it at verifying. Don't know what happened there, but again, not sure if it's Steam or load order mod. But removing load order mod, so the tool from the PC and the mod itself from the Steam Workshop, then Steam started to work again properly. So I do feel like something sussy with load order mod, clearly, because removing it fixed the issue. Interesting. But load order mod is essential for me, so added it back, and everything's been fine since. So, and it saved my profiles too, so I didn't lose anything, right? So.
What do you normally do? Because I noticed you posted, well, after you berated me in our DMs for not reading your Discord, I read your Discord. Which, by the way, when you put something in general and then 15,000 people comment after it, it makes it harder to find.
It was just me and you. Okay.
What do you normally do to troubleshoot your City Skylines? Like, when you have a problem, what's like the first thing that you normally do? Or that you did at that point.
Dial 911. And,
well, because you said you're like, I'm not technical enough for this. And I'm just kind of like, well, I understand. I'm not.
Although I should say I'm getting like more technical dealing with these issues and sort of.
Sure.
Operating on a daily basis. So, maybe it's more technical than I thought. No, it's just the usual stuff of like, what if Steam's not working? It's basic stuff. You know,
I can offer to help. But you never.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I don't like bugging people.
Well, like, guess what, Moose? On the Urban Theories podcast today, this is an intervention. We are going.
Listen, I like to exhaust my own personal. Like, I'll throw out a message and be like, "Hey, if somebody's had this issue, like, by all means, share." You know. But I'm going to exhaust my own measures. To see what's going on, and that's pretty much what I did, and then it fixed it. So
what did you do this time? I know what ultimately fixed it, but what was the things that you did leading up to that point? Like, walk me through the steps that you did.
Yeah, it was just googling Steam stuck. That's like Steam frozen. Verifying. Went through, and then there actually is a Steam checklist of like if it freezes, either installing. Yeah.
Oh, so, I'm sorry. So the problem originally was that Steam itself was freezing, like before you even got into the game.
And then when you go into, like, you know how you can check the network of it, right? Like from the download itself, it'll show the network of like up and down and what's actually downloading, how much is it downloading at what rate, right? And so I'm monitoring that, and nothing's downloading, right? Nothing's down. So then I was like, okay. So,
but wait, why internet, was anything downloading to begin with?
That's what I was trying to figure out. So it did download, got to about 35%, I believe, verified, and then would just freeze. And then you could see the internet or the Steam communicating with the internet, like trying to download, right? And it would show up a bit and then go down, and nothing was progressing. And so I was like, huh, okay, well, this is...
But what were you downloading?
No, just verifying the integrity of local files. So it was verifying the local files of City Skylines, and then that's where it froze at. So I guess maybe not so much downloading, but it did show as if it was, though, or like the way it looked. Well, like, again, I'm not tech savvy enough to know that the proper terms.
I get that completely. I'm just stepping through the steps. So then I have another question. So why were you validating the game?
So I do that pretty much any time that I add or unsub or resub new mods or just add workshop items. It's just something that like community recommended, because sometimes what will happen is you'll launch a game and it will have partially, or you'll launch the game and it will have partially downloaded a mod, or in some cases not properly downloaded an asset, and verifying the files helps push those downloads through. So I do that pretty much any time. Not every time I launch the game, but every time I launch the game, if I've downloaded something, especially a mod, though. If I've added a new mod or removed a mod, I'm always going to verify the local files, just in case.
Okay.
Yeah, that's something that it ended up freezing. And that was right before, yeah, so, you know, turn on the computer, verified it, and was getting ready to launch
the first
stream.
Can I ask another question?
No, not at all. Yeah, of course. Yeah, of course.
I feel like I'm doing my old job now. Okay, so exactly what did... okay, so we know that it wasn't downloading because that's what happens when you validate the game. When you validate the game because it's whenever that you add a mod or an asset. So what mod or asset did you add to warrant the validation of the game?
That time was just assets.
It was just assets. Okay.
Yeah, that time exactly. But I will go through that process regardless of what I download from the workshop. But yeah, there was a couple new local files from Modacero. And then for the Canadian patch he's working on for me, and then a couple things from the workshop that had dropped as well. I think it was like a new Mac Welshman building or something, or maybe that was yesterday. But yeah, anyways, buildings from the workshop.
Interesting. So that's interesting because that was the reason why. Because after I read your post in your Discord, I mean, it basically just said like, you know, I was validating and something's wrong and blah blah blah. And so I'm gonna do this stuff, and then he's like, I think it's load order mod, and I was like, that's really strange.
Yeah.
That's why
that essentially solved it. So.
I was wondering if you had the extended error reporting mod.
Oh, okay.
The reason...
Nope, not at all.
So, I understand the thought of validating after every mod and asset. The only reason why that I kind of disagree with that, and I understand, you know, I'm pretty sure it comes from good recommendations, especially as Chameleon. I disagree with that only because, one... I've never done that, and that's never fixed the problem for me. And number two, you did it, and you still had a problem. In fact, it may have actually caused the problem.
Yeah.
So,
I will say though, it does fix issues that I've had, like especially ones of. Yeah, where it'll come up and say, like, I'll get an error saying this is partially downloaded or not. Go and verify the files, and then boom, it fixes that.
So that's why
I keep doing it, because it does.
It takes so long. And also, too, if something has to be reinstalled, it doesn't do that. It just fixes what's already there. It is certainly one way of doing it, and I'm not going to discredit saying that you shouldn't do that, or anyone listening to this shouldn't do that, because it does work in less situations when it does work. For me specifically, it's so interesting because I do this for a living. I back down and I troubleshoot and I work through things. One of the things that I know that happens a lot of times is sometimes fixes are a placebo. And what I mean by that is the fix itself correlated to something working when it wasn't, but it wasn't the fix that made it work. So sometimes things either appear to be working or they're not like the be-all end-all, right? So like there's not like a one, because the other thing that I know from being in tech and IT is that there isn't like a magic button. But what usually lends to better results, more consistent results, is having like a step through of like basic things that you do all the time that sort of like hit 99% of what could have an issue. And then for the one-offs, you're never gonna like, those are the ones where you have to sit there and go, okay, which asset back out, and that's, you know, validating the game or stuff like that's probably never gonna fix that. You're always gonna have to do some troubleshooting for that. But the things that I particularly do that usually helps is like I usually just start off by just going, okay. And actually I say this because before I go into that, I also had a problem with loading cities this week. Was it yesterday? I think it was yesterday. It was yesterday, or maybe, I don't know what day it was. But anyway, so I loaded cities, and, you know, it got into the game, and when it got to the menu, I had, like, three different errors on the screen, and everything was grayed out, so, like, Cities does this wonderful thing. Actually, I don't know if it's Cities or if it's mods or it's a combination of both, but I love it when there are errors from, like, there's an error from the game, and then there's an error from the mod, and then there's an error from another mod. Now, the error from the game appears to always take precedence on front of the screen, but then there's an out-of-focus error from another mod that isn't on the front of the screen, so you can't click on it.
I've had this. Yeah,
I love this. I love it so much. Where it's like, you know, basically,
it's like, what the hell is this error?
Right, and you can't click on anything, and it's like it's because it's not the error that you're seeing. It's an error behind that error.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
but then the screen is grayed out. So, if the screen, actually, let me. I've observed two situations. One is, if the screen is in focus, but there are multiple errors, but the front one you're clicking on doesn't respond, if you can figure out a way of clicking behind, like if it's sort of off to the side and you can click on the other error, it'll focus itself and then you can click on that and then click on the other error and get it out. Or sometimes you have to like restart the game anyway. So there's that. The other one is if everything is grayed out like it was for me the other day, and if you hit escape, that'll at least make it like, because I was like, there's a mod that's saying there's a problem and I can't see which mod it is because it's covered up by these windows, and I was just pressing, and I was like, I hit escape, I got the mod was intersection marking tool. It said, oh god, what did it say? I'm so mad because I'm so focused on what I'm trying to do, and I just go through stuff so quickly that I don't take screenshots. I just go, oh, I know what to do, and then like I go past and go, oh, shot, I should have taken a screenshot.
That's the same.
Basically, intersection marking tool was saying that it was not downloaded properly, and you should restart the game. And I was like, interesting.
Message, that's when I verify the files, and then those messages go away.
Okay, interesting, because that's not what I do.
Okay, perfect.
So what I do, and this is what I do. So first, what I do is I restart Steam, which is what I did. What ends up happening sometimes, and this is what happened that time, is if you come out of the game and you haven't restarted Steam, and you look at the bottom where it says downloads, and you go click on downloads, if Cities Skylines has downloaded something, that means that there was a mod that was updated. And it'll tell you if it was workshop content. You hover over the little eye and it's like workshop content, but it doesn't tell you what it was. It just says workshop content. You're like, I don't know what. It's like, what mod updated? And that's your clue right there that something updated. And if you're having an error, you may need to unsub resub. It's either unsub resub and or restart Steam. And when I say restart Steam, I mean like in Windows, by default, it usually puts itself in the system tray. You got to go into the system tray and quit it. You can't just close it because it's still running in the background. You got to quit out completely and then come back into Steam. And the reason why that is just exactly what Chameleon said, because it hasn't completely fully downloaded itself for whatever reason.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And either restarting Steam fully, and if that still doesn't fix it, then unsubbing and resubbing to the mod fixes it for me almost 100% of the time. But then, because then the other thing there is, okay, well then what? How do you know what mod it was? So it's like, okay, so here's the interesting thing, and this is why validating a game, as long as you don't have to unsub and resub, will fix this too. But if you have to unsub and resub, validate a game doesn't tell you what mod it is. You either figure that out anyway. What you do is, if that's why I look at the download content, because you'll see that, okay, so something did update. So then you know to go to the workshop, go into your subbed items, select mod, then sort by recently updated and just see which one of your mods recently updated. And you guess what? Intersection Marking Tool was not one of them.
Okay, yeah.
Intersection Marking Tool was not the mod that updated recently. It was TNPE Sidewalks and Prop Anarchy were the two. Anarchy Fix, actually. And I was all like, okay, interesting. So, but I didn't unsub resub at that point. I said, okay, well, let me just go back into the game and see if it'll load. And it did. And it was fine. Well, at least as far as loading. There's actually a weird issue that I'm having now with, I believe, node controller renewal, which is that... it's a whole... Well, actually, hold on a second. Let me see.
But the thing is, this creates excitement, though, you know, because it's every week, it's like, what will this week hold for me instead?
Excitement.
You know, it's like, yeah.
Well, actually... You
know? What does this week have in store?
7:57 a.m. Interesting. Q reverted Network Anarchy to the previous version this morning.
What is Q up to?
Well, because there was an update on the 15th that fixed intersection placement, added more logging info, improved tool activation logic, and updated Q commons. But then this morning, he rolled it back.
Okay.
And I was suspecting, because I knew that Network Anarchy had a recent update, and I've been having some weird stuff happening with my nodes, and I was wondering maybe if Network Anarchy was part of that. It is still technically in beta, and I don't know if it is. I wish there is probably a place where I could find out why it was rolled back.
Sure.
It doesn't say why on the change info on Steam. So anyway, the point is that for me, the things that usually work for me 100% of the time is restarting Steam or unsubbing and resubbing to whatever the latest updated mod was. Usually doing that solves the issue that I'm having, which actually I'm going to do now for Network Anarchy only because it's a possibility that maybe rolling it back and it not being fully updated on my end, even though that it was done this morning and I loaded the game afterwards. But I have started seeing an issue today where like the nodes are looking weird and maybe I just need to unsub and resub to it, which is what I just did. So we'll see.
So that's interesting.
And the extended error reporting tool mod.
Yes.
That will let you know more information about if there is an error message, what the error actually is. And a lot of times it'll let you know, like, it's related. Like, it'll say, you know, this particular asset is having a problem, or this particular mod is having a problem. It doesn't mean that you'll be able to like fix the problem specifically with that mod or asset. For me,
yeah, but it gives you that sort of information, which I think is kind of crucial.
Exactly, which then I can action and say, okay, I'm gonna remove that asset, or I'm gonna resub to this mod, or I'm gonna unsub from this mod because I just added it, or something like that. So. Just a little something, something. Might help.
Yeah, that's super cool.
Validating is, you know, valid.
Yeah, exactly, right?
But so, I can't remember the last time that I did it. Sorry, go ahead.
No. That's fair. I was browsing YouTube the other day. Not because I saw your notification or your post in Discord and had it to notify me when the video went live. No, not at all. But I was randomly browsing YouTube I saw this video that was recommended to me called First Road Trip Through the Heart of Portland. Break it down for me. Because I feel like you might have some information on this video. Knowledge on it.
Well, no, because, I mean, well, who did that video and which Portland? Because I don't
know. It says the Jonah
Interesting. That's
Also, which Portland too? That was going to be my follow up question, but yes.
Fake news.
Okay. Portland road trip.
No. Yes, I did.
And the people need to know which Portland, right? We need to know.
Well, I would say that I am a man of the people.
Okay. Beautiful.
But yes, I did do a new update to YouTube finally after a long separation from the first three videos that I've done. I've now posted my fourth video called First Road Trip Through the Heart of Portland, which is basically a tour of the city and where it's at the moment from the south side through downtown and across the bridge to the immediate north side. It's 20 minutes long. It's got some pretty cool music, I think, to the background of it. And it's really just it's just supposed to be like exactly what I wanted to have on that channel. So it just, you know, drive-throughs and cinematics and fly-throughs, nothing really explained anything. Although I did have an idea for the next video, which is that I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that video. And it's not because of the comment that's in the video that says to do this. I actually had this idea before that comment.
Well, let's see here.
There's a comment that says, "Love this little road trip of joy. Can we have your beautiful voice guiding us through the fabulously built city in the next one? No rush, of course. Talking us through along the guided tour and or a sing-along." There will definitely not be a sing-along, but
Do you know this person? Because this message seems very...
very specific?
Do you know this person?
I can neither confirm or deny that. It's what I will say...
specific to not know the person. And then anyways, go ahead.
What I will say is that I do plan on doing that. So that's going to be the next video. It's just me narrating it.
Sweet.
Because it'll be the first video with my voice on it. I need to figure out what my video voice is going to be. Baby steps. I'll put my voice the next one. We'll talk through it. We'll talk all the things that happened through it. That might be like a running thing where maybe you'll have one video that's just the video and then there's another video that's me talking over it. So you get both because maybe you don't want to hear my voice or maybe you do. Yeah, for
sure. Some people, it's kind of like that lo-fi aesthetic where it's like noise, you know what I mean? But like good noise that you can, like I said, I've watched this a few times back now. And one of those times was just editing a video. I just had this playing because I love the aesthetic of it. Glance over, see where we're at in the drive. But then just to have that background sort of noise, right? Like it's really vibey.
And for anyone who's gonna say, "Oh, you should do a road trip video where you put like sound effects that are representative of what's happening in the video at the time in the background," that's already been done. Now, I'm not saying no one should do it anymore, but I'm just saying that's not novel, it's not new or interesting, although it's 2022, everyone's done everything, so nothing that anyone does is new, novel, or interesting. Everyone's already taking inspiration from other people, but I will say it's been done, and I've watched one or two of those videos. I don't remember who, I wish that I knew who the YouTuber was now, so I can give him a shout out, but someone was doing a YouTube road trip. I was looking to see, are there any roads?
PHDN Gaming might be the one that you're thinking of. I don't know if you watched this. That's just the most recent one that I can think of that did that with the sound effects to the.
I don't think this was a recent video though. Okay. And you know what? There might be multiple City Skylines YouTubers that have done it too. Just because it's not new and I'm doing it, another person has done it, doesn't mean that other people haven't done it either.
Of course.
But anyway. I guess the point is that I do plan on doing that, so stay tuned, and we'll see where it goes. I think that doing the sound effects in the background, like the noise from the city, I think is more work than I'm willing to do at this point, because it just seems like a lot. Like, getting all of the different sounds and making sure that it doesn't sound too repetitive, it just seems like a lot.
So we'll it would be, yeah.
But
it would be so sick too. Either way, the commentary though, I do think would be awesome. I also love that there's a comment already. As someone who lives in Portland, I'd say you nailed this. I love the signs and road work. Boom. Mm-hmm. I called it. Since day one, I have been calling this Portland 1-to-1. I have been shut down.
Can you see
people have laughed at me.
Can you look at the reply to that one?
Yep, let me take a look. Which Portland though? Okay, cool. That's what's this? Yeah, oh, that's exactly. A dislike. That's what the thumbs down does. Huh? Okay. No.
Wow. No. Listen. Listen, I was actually talking about that the other day on the train with Bay. I was like, of course. I was like, someone's like, you know, they're like, oh, this is exactly like Portland. I'm just kind of like, which one? Like, it's like, which is the point? I'm not like calling them out or like shaming them. I'm just kind of like, that's the point. The point is it literally could be anywhere. Everyone has said that this city is Portland and Los Angeles and Chicago and Houston, and I'm just like, yes,
because that's so cool. That is what, honestly, that is what, like, I'm around your stream for many reasons, but that is just another one of the many reasons that draws me into your content and your builds to see what you're up to now and how the overall picture looks and the city's progresses. That it's not like, and I think too, even to the point of like the trees that you've chosen are very like, it literally could be anywhere in North America. Like you could even call this a Canadian city, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's so much to
it. They're super generic.
Exactly. But yet it flows together into this one cohesive project that feels real to you. Whatever you feel looking at it or think it is, that's what it is to you, right? And I think that's like, that is my most favorite thing about this game, is when somebody just throws out a project. It's not 1-to-1. It's not based. You have your own ideas and you have your own experiences that will influence it. But then somebody else can come in and look at this and be like, oh my God, this reminds me of this road trip that I took through this such and such city. Like, that is one of the biggest things that makes this game just so, I don't know, I love this game so much. Just, I love it.
It's a good game.
But that's what I love about your city, game. So, yeah.
It's old as old, but it's still going. And thank you to all the modders and asset creators who are allowing that to occur, because I tell you what, now, I don't think I'd still be playing this game in this way if we didn't have all the mods and stuff that we have, so yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about, eh? Yeah, and or maybe EA would have made a return. Who knows?
Well, you have also videos as well on YouTube. Do you want to talk about your most recent one?
Oh, your most recent one. What did I do? Wow. Most recent one.
It was the rail only start.
Yeah, I know. I'm just memeing. Yeah, rail only start. I explored it on another one. Rail only outside connection 6 days ago as well, too.
There are roads on this map, but what you're saying is that you're starting out with only a rail connecting outside it to connection. The outside connections, correct. Right?
Yeah. I dive into it the video as well to sort of discuss it and then the overview of it. But basically it was an idea that started with Yumble. So Yumble brought up this idea of and I know Yumble's not the first one, but this is the one that I saw for me, right? And I was watching the stream when he was discussing this.
Everything's already been done once.
Oh yeah, 100%. Especially in a video game where, as creatively free as this is, lots of these ideas have already been explored, right? You know, it's 7 years old now, right? So, So Yumble was diving into it and discussing it, and I was like, damn, that's such a cool... Because, so for me, when I start a city, and I know everybody does it differently, but for me, my favorite part is laying out the downtown, because I can build up to, or like from that downtown, but I want that core centerpiece of what, when this city was founded, where was it founded and what did it start with? Like, I love that sort of that downtown core and then branching off from there, right? So I'll start with that center point, what's going to be the focal point of the map for me. And the ability to not have to worry about, like, you may draw out your roads thinking that this road's going to be a highway, this here's going to be a sunken highway, and this is going to connect to whatever, a viaduct or whatever, right? You may have those ideas in place already, but it's not connected yet. And to be able to just be like, okay, well, here's my city that I'm working on. Let's set up a rail station, or as I tested on Twitch, a metro station as well, you can do these alternate connecting points that might be easier for you than connecting roads, depending on how you play. Because obviously you start the game and it connects you, you know, you have your highway connection there, but you don't always necessarily need highway anymore. So you can have a Union Station be the way that people came into the city or can access it, right? We did ship only as mm-hmm. well on the YouTube too, and that was a lot of fun. That one was a freaking blast as well.
I saw that one.
So yeah, ship works. It's anything that has an outside connection that can draw people in works. So for the metro, just make sure that at your starting point, have the rail come out and connect to I use the vanilla metro rail hub. And so trains will stop there. People will cross the building and hop on the metro as long as you've drawn a line out. And then effectively, if you put that near the edge of your map where your spawn point is, then people are just take the metro into the city, which is really cool. Yeah, so it's been a lot of fun. And it's just a nice way to like get your city up and running for me without having to stress about where's this road going to connect? Is this going to work? Like, we've got to get these connections in. We've got to get people moving in. I can just draw out a rail line, connect to whatever rail's there, plonk down where I know I want my Union Station to sit, and boom, people can move in. I'll place down the facilities. We can get the city up and running while I do the detailing. Yeah. Yeah, it's fun bringing this one over because we did this just as like a tester build on Twitch, and I had so much fun with it. I was like, man, I don't want this to be, I don't know, just like a tester build that's just one and done and we move on. So I kind of figured, while I already did have a let's play formulating on or coming together on the YouTube, I was like, yeah, I have to bring this one over too. It's too much fun. So we'll keep it alive in a YouTube sort of way for it. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Video editing is extremely time consuming, but I'm enjoying it way more than I thought I would. Way, way more.
Say it again.
For something like, yeah, because people don't, like, even I didn't think, so when I say people didn't think, it's me, I didn't think it was going to be as time consuming as it is, which is why I've had to cut back on streams a bit here, because it's too much, and I need me time too, you know, I need
yeah,
moose time.
And listen, we're people, we got to take care of ourselves.
Exactly.
Could we dive into the whole content creator sphere in a completely toxic way and just be all about it and nothing else and like strive for just all the big numbers? Sure, we could.
That I'm not doing that already?
Actually, we should. Anyways, wait a minute, why are we not doing that? Wait a minute, hold on a second, we could have more.
Exactly.
You never know. Wait a minute. Is that how you do it? You just have to like, don't give a crap about anything. Just do it all the time. Because I tell you, the amount of time that I've been taking to, not so much edit videos, but like to just get the video in a place where I can edit it. And I guess that's probably partial because of the content that I'm actually recording, right, which is the City Skyline stuff, and trying to do the drive-throughs and making it all smooth, which means you have to slow everything down. And I kid you not, each one of the takes that I had to do took between 45 minutes and an hour to record, and I think I did 4 of them.
Okay, yeah.
But that's mainly because it was like, oh, I noticed that. Stop. Got to fix that. Start again. Up. Fix that. Then you record a whole one and then you go, nope, I didn't slow down the simulation enough. It's still too jerky. Okay. And then I noticed this now. It's like, okay, I want to change that. How much do I care about that? And it gets to a point where I just went, you know what? It's good enough. And then just put it out.
Yeah, you kind of like, yeah, I mean, you kind of had to find that point, because I've noticed, like, sometimes you can just keep editing forever or retaking or refilming whatever it is forever, right? Like, you can just keep doing it.
Right.
It's like, this one's good, but I can enunciate better or slow down on how fast I'm talking, whatever it is. Especially, like, editing into, it's like, oh, I should add this, and then honestly, in some cases, especially in my experience here with my latest video, less is more. Not in all cases, right? You'll find what works for you as a content creator, but I've found less seems to be more sometimes. And I'm not sure if that's just like for the types of videos that I'm doing. But the ones that are more not minimalistic, but that are less, are the ones that have done better for me, that are more like, yeah, I don't know. They're I don't know how to say it better than like less. There's just less busyness going on in the video. Mm-hmm. Are the ones that do better. Yeah.
Speaking of content creation,
done for me, so. Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you see that Teddy streamed on YouTube today?
Well, here's the thing. I was in the chat, so probably.
Okay. All right. Cool. I just wanted to make sure you were aware of such a thing.
Yes, I did.
I woke up and I went on YouTube and it was being recommended to me and I was all like, okay, because I've heard about the way that YouTube recommends live streams. It's not enough that you're following the person. You have to also, from what people have gathered and what their, I guess their, I don't know if YouTube has actually said this, but when it was recommended, I was like, oh, interesting. And I popped in, I didn't stay cause I was doing other stuff, but I was like, okay, cool. And I was like, I like this. Cause like it was his first stream. It seems like it went pretty well. Also, I had no idea that he went over 1,000 subs on YouTube. That's insane.
Yeah, cause
the last I looked, it was not 1,000.
yeah, fair. Yeah. Yeah.
It went pop. And I was like,
yep.
So good for him. I'm glad to see that.
Yeah, it's so cool.
So yeah, like I guess we're gonna be YouTube stars eventually.
Yeah. Apparently, hey. I'd still
we're on the road to YouTube stardom.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. Hey, I mean, like, obviously I've done, like, I'm not planning to be streaming on YouTube anytime soon, but
oh, that's right, you're one of the holdouts. Yeah,
I don't know, I just like, I built everything sort of around Twitch. I'd like Twitch. Like, yeah, you can say what you want about them and their recent decisions, and same here. I don't agree with many things that they've done lately either. That being said, it's not so much Twitch that's keeping me there as much as it is the community and the people that I get to hang out with there that wouldn't necessarily come over. I've also had a lot of feedback too as I've reached out inquiring about YouTube streams, and the one thing that I've seen is like, and then this isn't for everybody, right? It's just the people that I've reached out to echoing the fact about they're on Twitch, they're not really gonna make the jump over to, like, they might watch YouTube. Everybody pretty much watches YouTube, right? They might watch YouTube videos, but they're not really going to come and watch a YouTube live stream, you know?
Yeah.
They're more just like, yeah, Twitch is where I watch my streams, is where I watch content. I don't bounce between.
I think for some people, going over to YouTube is not about hoping that your audience from Twitch comes over to it. It's about discovering a new audience.
Yeah, and that too, for sure. Yeah. But that being said, it's also, there's that part of me that doesn't want to, I don't know, I just don't want to alienate the people on Twitch as well. Not that it necessarily is, it's just for me, my entire basis has been around Twitch, and yeah, that's just where I'm going to keep it. Like, I may disagree with what Twitch has done, but it's not to the point of like, okay, well, I'm gonna jump ship to YouTube now. I'm sure there will come a point, like, we're eventually gonna stream on YouTube. It's just that's the way that I can see things going, and that's why I've started to like sort of build an audience on YouTube.
Listen, I'm not out here like, Moose, you need to come on over to YouTube, you know?
Because
I just think it's interesting that people have decided. You know, and now that he's over 1,000 subs, he can monetize that now. So that's gonna be interesting.
Sick.
Yeah. So yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm prepared for it though. Regardless, like, I'm staying on Twitch now, but I've been sort of preparing for the inevitability of making the ship, or like coming over, whether that's for like one stream or whatever.
You know, though. Yeah. I guess there might be one caveat to people who will actually follow you if you switch to YouTube, and that's if they're thirsty.
Hey, yo, break it down, Jonah. What's on your mind?
See how I did that? See that segue?
Yeah, that's called like, I learned about this in Adobe Premiere Pro for YouTube editing. I believe they call this a transition.
Oh.
Transition. Editing. When I searched up how to do a basic transition from one clip to the other clip. Anyway, so Jonah, tell me how you feel.
I wonder if anyone knows what I mean when I say thirsty viewers.
Like, what did you exclamation mark hydrate or
no oh, although that would be a thirsty streamer who needs to hydrate. No, thirsty viewers. I like, what did you think that meant when I first mentioned it?
A viewer who's thirsty for this streamer.
Oh, did you really think that?
Yeah, of course. Thirsty viewers. Yeah, that's instantly what came to mind. Yeah.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's just what it is. I think a lot of people would understand with it, but it's like, I think that you're kidding yourself if you think that you don't watch somebody because you find them attractive, or I should say, if there isn't at least one person that you have at least started to watch them because of that reason, and then either you stayed because of other reasons, or you left because there was nothing else there. Or, I don't know, if you watched them specifically just because you find them attractive and you have literally nothing else to add to the conversation or really care. I mean, do you, boo? Like, I don't understand what the problem is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah, I'm there with you. I don't know. I mean, because, of course, it can go from that to, you know, sussier stuff, right? But if it's just that you're just okay, like if we're not crossing that sort of sussy line and you're just like, this person's attractive, I'm watching them because they're attractive, I'm not out here yucking people's yum, you know what I mean? Like, you exactly, and like what you said, you do you. If you think they're like, then who cares?
And what, like, what line are you talking about crossing there?
Well, I guess into creepy territory, right, where it becomes more of like, it's not that you're, it becomes more of, I would say, more of an infatuation with this person, right? It's not just like, oh,
an unhealthy one too.
Exactly. And it becomes more more creepy,
which is not unique to streaming.
Yeah, exactly. No, 100% it's not. No, yeah. So
I mean,
yeah, Taylor I guess Swift. I would be kind of that line, right? Where it takes it a little bit too far. Like, where it becomes uncomfortable for the streamer as well, too, right? Where it's more of like, it's not this person has complimented you and thinks that you're, you know, tried to said something, right? It's like, this person's kind of making me, the streamer, feel uncomfortable, right?
I have seen that. I have seen it where people... Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're not talking... And I'm not talking about people who go into streams and make, you know, lewd comments at streamers who didn't specifically ask for wasn't part of the tone of the conversation at that time, and they particularly didn't like and asked to stop, and it didn't. We're not talking about stuff like that. I'm just simply talking about the harmless, oh, he kind of cute. And what's he talking about? Okay, I don't know if I can listen to this anymore. I'm just gonna leave. Or, oh, he's cute. He's playing. Okay, I've never played this game before in my life, but you know what? I'm just gonna watch because, you know, he's kind of, you know, or she, or they, or whoever. That's fine. Yeah. Do you?
Yeah.
What I will say, what I will say is check your feelings at the door. Because...
No. Not my feelings.
Check your feelings at the door. Some people do tend to, it's not unhealthy, it just gets to that line where the streamer is uncomfortable. It's okay to be drawn in from that. When you were there and you were interacting and you're not vibing and they tell you that, you can't get mad at that. It's either you change your vibe or you change the room, as in you leave. Because, you know, that gets very, especially with women on Twitch, that gets really like female streamers, and then you get the male streamers or whoever, I don't know, I think it's probably traditionally men that do this, where they'll come in and they'll say things that they think that they can say because they feel like that they're giving a compliment, or I don't know. I actually don't know what goes. Do you know what goes through that brain? Because I don't. Why would somebody say?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, not through you.
Crazy things. Mostly it involves viaducts, but you know, it is what it is.
I just somebody help me. Why is it that some people feel like that they can say certain things to certain people and then get upset when that person tells them to stop? You know, like if you're going to say something to, like, you have to, I guess what I'm really trying to say is read the room, read the person, and also respect the person.
But some people just don't, they just don't have that. Like they just don't, I don't know. It's like they convince themselves that it's a compliment regardless of what it is. Right. And that the person receiving said compliment should be, I don't know if the word is thankful or grateful. And
thankful,
I don't really
grateful.
Know this. Because,
yeah.
Right. And then when
they're
not,
you're right.
They justify getting mad because to them, they said a compliment. It doesn't matter how creepy or off-putting what they said is. In their mind, they convince themselves this is a compliment to a person. Said person should accept compliment, be thankful and grateful. And if they're not, I'm going to get upset because my feelings are now hurt when I can see that what I said was creepy. Like, that's just kind of my understanding of it. It could be wrong because I don't know. I haven't been in that situation.
I think that's definitely part of it, at least. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know why people are like that.
Yeah, also people be people too, because there's also that factor, right, where it's just actually, people be people sometimes, whether it's...
I have a theory why people are like that.
Yeah.
Because in some communities
on
Twitch...
Is it an urban theory?
Oh. shut up.
All right, done with that theory. Let's go.
I think it's because in some communities or in some streamers on Twitch, behavior or banter like that is okay and allowed.
No because, shot. Yeah, that's totally a good point.
But again, read the room.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
There is good-hearted banter, and then there's you coming into a new place, no one knowing who you are, and trying to have that same banter with someone else who either doesn't understand it, doesn't know it, doesn't care for it. I don't know. But, like, it's read the room, I guess, right? Like, you have to understand that not everyone's going to feel the same way, and you can't be mad about that. I guess another thing that some people do is they say, well, you look like that. You dressed up that way.
Oh, my God.
So you must be asking for it or something. And, you know, these same things go back. I would like to remind people that a lot of the things that we see on the internet, I'll just say in the internet, not even just Twitch or YouTube, but a lot of things that we see on the internet are not new to the internet. These are things that have been happening since before the internet. And while that doesn't excuse it, that just means that the internet is not the cause of it, although it may in some cases allow more of it because of the anonymization of the internet in places like Twitch. So, you know, like, that kind of goes back to the catcalling days, right? I don't know if people still do it. If you do, don't. But, like...
Yeah, and it's also just, like you said, it's that anonymity?
Anonymization.
Where... Yeah,
anonymity is the anonymity, the
keyboard warrior phase where it's like I can say whatever I want because there's no repercussions. You know, it's like it's that whole thing, right? And it makes people feel almost more confident online to say things that they never would, some people would, but, you know, never would say in public, right? And I feel like that's on Twitch,
or
too.
Would.
It's like, just, yeah, yeah, I or mean, would. Some people would, for sure, yeah. But I also feel like it's like, even though, say, said streamer has a face cam, it's still not, it's not in person, right? And so they feel so more comfortable saying it, you know?
You know what I've seen before? I've seen someone say... This was someone who was a member of that community, I don't remember whose stream it was, and I don't watch them anymore. It was one of those things that's like, oh, I'm here for the night, and then I went back, and I was like, okay, it's not my vibe. Nothing bad, just not my vibe. But when I was there, there was someone who was a part of the community, and they were saying things in chat, and then the streamer was like, she was like, I don't know about that, and then the person was like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm drunk, and I loved her response. She went... She said, okay, well, listen, I know that you're like a member of this community and you've been here, but that's not an excuse. And I'm sorry. So, if you think that you can just continue like that tonight, I'm going to ask you to just go on ahead and step away from the keyboard or computer tonight and maybe come back on a night when you're sober, because I'm not going to have that. And we will time you out you continue to do that. But I'm letting you know right now that and then the person was like, oh, I'm sorry. And they're like, no. I was like, no sorries, no nothing. Please leave tonight. You can come back later. Thank you. And I was all I was like, girl, go ahead.
yeah, of course. Very,
I don't know if I could, I don't know if I have, like, I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, so, okay, yeah. So then that brings up an interesting topic here of, like, somebody being a member of your community, someone that you've interacted with, chatted with, stuck by a stream. How do you deal with somebody like that when they have crossed the line? Because I'm gonna throw this out here and be completely real and honest. I don't have an answer for that. I don't know how to deal with it. I have had to deal with it, and it's not been fun. So I'll be the first to admit that I'm not the best when it comes to those, because it's like, just because you're a member of the community, you can't be like, you're a member of the community, or you've subbed to me, or you've gifted subs, or whatever it is, and give that person an exception, you know, versus somebody who's maybe not done those things. You know what I mean? Like, everybody,
or who's VIP,
or exactly, you know. Exactly, right? Somebody's VIP and they do something, you give them a one-off because they're VIP, versus somebody who's just a viewer. Like, you can't. At least for me, I can't do that. Everybody's got to get, like, be subject to the same.
Yeah,
but how do you deal with it when it's somebody that is a member of the community? Because I don't have an answer for it. Like, I deal with it the same, but it sucks. Like, it's
hard. I don't either.
It's harder, more uncomfortable.
I don't have an answer because I'm not very, I wish it's people like her that I sort of look to for kind of like a model of how to handle it, at least in the best circumstances. Like, it's tough because, like, I don't know how to handle it, and you're straddling the line of putting your boundaries in place, but then not being so rigid that people don't feel like that they can come in and be themselves and be, you know, different, but at the same time, you know, not wanting to kill the vibe of the evening and all that, and so it's tough. This is how I, in general, try to operate in general. So I'm a little bit more, open to discussions around particular topics that other people are not necessarily, except with some very hard no's, you know, like anything related to race, mainly because you can't see or know who someone is in chat, and it unfortunately gives a lot of context to the conversation. I can say things because you see me and it's my channel and I'm gonna say whatever I want.
Yeah.
But when it comes to someone in chat, there have been one or two times when someone has said like a one word thing or like a one line thing, and they've been someone that had been around, and I've been like, no, I'm sorry, we're not gonna do that. But I don't really have a good answer. I think the best thing that we can do is I think the number one rule is to try and remember that it's your living room. That's how I've always equated live streams, is it's the streamer's living room. So take that into consideration for you as a streamer, how you're going to guide the vibe and the conversation in there. And then also, as a viewer, understand that that's where streamers should be coming from. And so things are not going to necessarily be the most democratic or the most fair. Yeah. Very plain and simple.
Yeah,
of course. there are things that streamers will let people with VIP badges do that they will not let people without VIP badges do. Probably because there's context there. Again, to the race conversation, right? In relation to that conversation. If someone has a VIP badge, maybe that's someone that they knew in real life, and so they understand where they're coming from, they understand the context or the character right. of the thing that's being said more than you would. And unfortunately, that's very difficult and confusing for a viewer to understand sometimes when they don't have that same context. So that's why I say the only thing that I can think of is just think of people's streams as their living rooms, because there's things that are not going to be even. There's also going to be us, like you and me, that don't know how to necessarily handle certain things, and you may not get it right. There was a situation when I started streaming very early on. I don't think that I handled it correctly. Basically, it came down to I had maturity on, so you had to be 18 plus to be in the stream, and this person had mentioned that they were not 18 in the stream.
Yeah, okay.
And so after stream, I banned them, and when I banned them, I didn't send them an explanation until they DM'd me and asked me why, and then I told them why, and then they just kind of completely went off the rails, and it got to the point to where I had to literally block them, because it was at a point I was just kind of, listen, these are not my rules, these are Twitch's rules, I have the mature thing up, you have to be 18, you said you're not, I'm sorry. And then they just kept, like, they said a lot of things, let's put it that way.
Okay.
And so I had to block them. And what made it even trickier was the fact that they were also a chatter at the time in another streamer stream that I modded for at the time. And they actually mentioned it live on their stream. They're like, why did Jonah ban me?
God damn.
And my blood ran cold, because I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Number one, thanks for like number one, you're approving why I needed to keep you out of the chat room, because that you are approving your age at this point, and this is why I don't want to associate with people who were that young, at least that young in maturity. Anyway, I have since taken off the maturity thing on my channel, which means now you can be 13 and up, but again, it's my living room. So you can be 13 and up technically, but that doesn't mean that I have to keep you in there.
Yeah, exactly. There's still, yeah, no, I agree.
So there's that. But also, what was I going to say? When it was that, and then it was also like, you know, the way that the streamer handled it is like a streamer should. They were like, listen, I don't have anything to do with that. You need to talk to that person, but we're not going to discuss that here on live.
Yeah.
And I was like, thank God. And then okay, great. I have to hold on a second. 242, curse word bleep. Thank you. And then I DM'd them afterwards, and I was all like, I am so sorry about that. And they were like, no, it's fine. And then they were just like, is there anything that I need to know? Like, why you banned them? And I was like, no. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I was like, no. I was like, I told them, I said it was because that they mentioned that they were younger than 18 and, you know, I have maturity on. And I was like, I know that they haven't mentioned that in your stream, so do whatever you need to do there, but right. I had to. And they decided to not ban them because they didn't mention it in their stream. And then that person just went away one day, and I just haven't seen them, or maybe they changed their name or something. I don't know. But yeah, that was difficult. That was difficult. That was difficult to deal with. And
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We're not gonna get it right. I'm sorry, we're just not going to.
Yeah.
And I look at it this way. At least it's not a chat of 30,000 people with, you know, messages that you can't mod at that point. So,
yeah, yeah, it's they're fun to deal with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but this comes with the territory being a content creator, and essentially being your own boss, if you will, or your own moderator.
It doesn't
really,
mean that we have to be happy about it, but it does cut the territory.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and it's like, I had people mention it to me before as well, too, like when I started out content creation, because it's like, it'll happen to everybody. You can try your best to have, you know, everything running smoothly and nice, beautiful, rainbows and flowers community, but at some point somebody's going to come in and you may not fit what you're looking for in your community, and you're going to have to deal with it. Not fun, but
I have to. I gotta start getting better at speaking up when there's someone in chat that just is not fitting the vibe, because that's that case where it's like, I'm not gonna ban you or time you out or delete your messages, but I just want to let you know that you're not fitting on the vibes. So like, feel free to like go if you want, but like, that's not what we're about here. And then just kind of keep it going. Yeah. I think that that's like a really good thing to say, but I very often don't, and it's because you're afraid that doing that is gonna ruin the mood, and it will. And there might be people that might leave. There might be people that won't agree with it. But you know what? Don't agree then. You could leave too, I guess.
Yeah, it's you could. it's a fun time, you know, navigating this.
It is, isn't
crazy
it?
Crazy world. I don't
it's
know.
Super it's, interesting.
Yeah.
The whole crazy content creator streaming world that we've for some reason decided to partake in. Not sure why. I don't know why. I have no idea. I find myself very often these days in this late stage of my life going, why am I doing this again?
Why the heck not? You know what I mean? Why not?
You know what? That's true.
Explore it. Try it out. That's the one Why thing I've not? Learned in life. I've done many things in life where I'm like,
you're exactly right, Miles.
That I've done just to try. To try and experience,
why,
you know?
Why not play cities? Why not stream cities? Why not do YouTube? Why not do a podcast? And why not end this podcast?
Try telling that to my family, you know what I mean? But that's topic for next week's episode. Thank you so much for checking out the show.
Yeah! Thank you for joining Urban Theory Podcast, episode 16.
The music starts playing, you know?
Exactly. It's been an awesome time. Thank you for being here.
Jonah, where can the people find you?
Also, I'd just like to mention Paramore is touring again.
Oh, right there. Okay, cool.
I love Paramore, and I swear to God, I'm gonna figure out when they're coming here, and I will not be streaming if it's on a day that they're gonna be here. So, yeah, and I don't care if the tickets. Actually, I do care if they cost $600, but
but they're probably going to. You probably know that, right? Eh? You understand that they're probably gonna be similar to what I'm paying for Blink, yeah. I'm telling you now, Jonah, I'm just saying it probably is. There's no way. It's got to be comparable. It's got to be comparable, I'd imagine.
So they're going to be at the Beacon Theater on November 13th. Hold on a second. Wait. They're going to be at the Beacon Theater. There are tickets left. And if I want one that's in orchestra third row.
Hit me with it. Now keep in mind I'm looking for floor tickets when I say my price, but
these are orchestra, so these are like right up in front, third row.
Oh,
so they're only being sold in pairs. Well, these anyway.
Okay.
There are other tickets, but I must
hit me with the price.
I must stress that this is orchestra third row front. It's two tickets. It is actually, you guess how much is it? How much do you think
comparable, right? So I'd say 600, two tickets, three each.
So 300 each?
600? Yeah, I'd say around there. So okay.
$1,586 each. not for both of them together. But $1,500 after fees and everything, it's $3,175 for third row Paramore at the Beacon on November 13th. I hate everything about that.
I'll see
that.
You there, yeah?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm totally going.
Jesus. Yeah, it's... No, anyway, topic for next episode, you know?
The cheap seats are upper balcony, and those are $400
a cost of living, more like the cost of concerts, am I right?
So Blink-182 is $600 for floor.
Yeah, each. Around there for two tickets, yeah.
And they're $1,500 for floor. That's
Yeah, but this is also in advance. This is like we're getting this in advance.
Oh, but wait a minute. Here. But that's only third row. You could still be floor. Oh, you could be in the back of the floor for... It said that there was $400 tickets somewhere. Anyway, I'm going to Paramore. Y'all have a good weekend. Moose, where can we find you on the socials?
A Canadian Moose _ on all platforms. Yeah, literally all platforms. Also, I'm kind of curious. Is that actually what I'm called on YouTube?
No, because yes, you don't have
Canadian Moose _.
I mean, you're called that.
Yeah, but not at the YouTube link. Yeah, right.
You need to be 1,000, and then you get your vanity URL, and then you can change it to youtube.com/AcadiaMoose.
Right?
But
so then in that case, search up rail only start.
That. If I will say, if you search for a Canadian Moose on YouTube, he's not the first thing, probably. Well, he is for me, but I'm following him. There is another account called A Canadian Moose, but there are spaces in it. And then there's another account called A Canadian Moose with no spaces in it. That's not you. And there is a Canadian flag, but that's because they're a Canadian Moose. And then there's another one called Just A Canadian Moose.
I hate it so much. Also, if I type in Just A Canadian Moose into YouTube, I get absolute... just doxing videos of mooses. You know, it's me. I get doxed. Absolutely doxed, you know?
So make sure you add that _ there. That's A Canadian Moose _ on all the socials, including YouTube. Yeah, exactly.
The second video says moose are absolute units, so that's very kind. Thank you.
I have a feeling that I've seen that video, probably for looking for you. I am the Jonah.
Yes?
I am the Jonah on Twitch. I am also the Jonah _ on Twitter. I am also J_... No. _ Jonah D on Reddit, which I haven't posted anything to. I'm actually gonna post something soon on that. You can just search for the Jonah on YouTube. You'll probably find me. And that's it. And then we're Urban Theories, and you can catch this on all of your podcasts things. So if you found us on the internet and you're like, well, I wanna like know how to like get notifications and follow them, go to like Spotify, go to Spotify, go to Apple, go to Google. It'll probably be 7 episodes behind, but go to Google if you want. We're on there. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, we're on all the podcasts. Don't forget to like, follow, subscribe, do all the things for both our podcasts and our YouTube and our Twitters and our Twitch. You have to like and subscribe to all of them. You have to. Because if you don't, then I might cry. I'll cry tears as I'm driving an ATV through your front door. Good night.
I could just hear the music picking up after that, you know. Dun, 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 or however that I could hear it in my head.